But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you. So nice to see you all this evening. My name is Jonathan Schulteis. You call me Brother John, I guess, in camp terminology. They call me Pastor John at home, Reverend Schulteis, and half of my congregation I grew up with, so they just call me plain old John. So we'll answer to pretty much anything. And you met my son Sam already. He's hopefully going to sleep right now, so don't sing too loud. No, I'm just kidding. You can sing and shout as loud as you want. This is Pilgrim Camp. And my wife and daughter, Mia, will be up on Friday as well. How many of you are going to be staying through the youth rally, youth retreat? We have, you young at heart guys like us? No. Let's see, how many do we have? Quite a few. And some are going home. Okay. I'm just looking because this is a little different for me. I usually come, you know, for one full week. And now I'm here for a couple days and folks are going to be leaving. And then the youth rally's going to come, the youth retreat, and then they're going to leave, and then I'll stay another day or two, and then go. So I'd like to know who the captive audience is, who's going to be staying for a while, and who's going to be getting out of Dodge, as they say. But it's nice to see you, and thank you for our staff who was so willing to help me fold some things. I appreciate it. And you got a little sneak peek at what I'm going to be handing you. So I hope you're not ready to run out the door too quickly. But we're here to worship the Lord tonight. We are here to worship. That's why we're here. That's why we come to Pilgrim Camp. That's why I come. That's why I've been coming since I was 6 years old. That's a lot of years. Actually, not quite yet, but I guess in, what's today? The 22nd, Brother Ed? What's the day today? 20? Day before. Yeah, as of tomorrow, it'll be, what, 47 years I've been coming to Pilgrim Camp. So it's a little secret of how old I am. So when I talk about the old folks, I include myself as well, although I am young at heart, and my kids keep me young at heart as well, too, as well as young at foot and mind and everything else. But I can't tell you how many times I've been here and God has met me. I wasn't saved at Pilgrim Camp, like so many have been. I had the vast privilege of having parents who were pastors. In fact, I'm here because they used to be here, and then when they got promoted, I got promoted. And so I'm glad that we can be here together. We can worship the Lord. We can just allow him to touch us in our church. I know some churches do, and that's great. I love hip, hip, hooray. I love yelling. I like shouting. I like it all. But we don't drum up worship. We don't drum up praise. I just simply tell our folks, just look at God. Just look at Jesus. Take a look at him. And then respond. Just respond. Respond the way you think you should. And when you see Jesus, don't worry. Your response will be okay. People fall on their knees. People stand and praise. People sit in silence. Whatever it is, you look at Jesus. You let Jesus touch you by his Spirit. And then you just respond. That's what worship is. That's what it really is. You know, it comes from the Middle Ages. It comes from the old English word worthship. And it was very simply to acknowledge what someone was worth. If it was a lord, if it was a duke, if it was a queen, they recognized that they were worth something. They were of a high position. They were worthy of esteem. They were worthy of reverence even. They were worthy of obedience. And that's where worship comes from. We recognize who Jesus is. We recognize God. We acknowledge who he is. And then we simply respond. And I know as some of you are going to be staying for the youth retreat, you're going to be talking a lot about that. How do we respond to who God is? Because that's the secret of living a life with meaning, a life of significance. But I'll let Brother Tim Rodolico talk to you a little bit more about that later on in the week. And so I just want to encourage you tonight, see Jesus. Look at Jesus. Just ask Jesus to reveal himself to you by his Spirit, and you know where they are. The Father is there too. You know, you can't have one without the other. They all come together, and let them make their abode in your heart. I trust you've been doing that while you've been here at camp, but let's continue to do that, and then just respond. Just simply respond as the Spirit gives you utterance, and you'll find that you are worshiping him in spirit and in truth. We are going to sing the song that, Brother Paul, when you started that playing that song with the trumpets, I almost fell over backwards, but you know I didn't, because does anybody know? Now, how many of you here know Sister Minerva? Okay, for better or for worse. She's a good friend of mine. We grew up together in our church. Her husband's sitting right back there, so I can kid around a little bit. I'm not talking behind her back. But I know that she told some of you that when I came up here, I was going to ask you a question. Does anybody remember her telling you that? Does that ring a bell to anybody? Well, doesn't matter, because here's the question. You ready? Who knows what the theme of Pilgrim Camp is this year, this summer? What is our theme? I'm scanning the room. I know Brother Eddie knows, because it was his idea. I know the Lord gave it to him, but does anybody know what our theme is for the staff for the year? We got Brother Paul's fingering somebody over there.
They know it.
All right, trumpet players, those brass guys back there. Go ahead.
Know what you believe and why you believe.
Exactly. It's knowing what we believe. Knowing what you believe and why you believe it. Now, we're going to talk a lot these next few days about what we believe, knowing what we believe and why we believe it. But I want to suggest to you tonight that the best answer to that question is not what I believe, but who I believe. Is that correct grammar? Is it whom I believe? Depends how it's used, I guess. Brother Eddie's our resident grammarian. I have a good friend across the hall from me in school. I'm also a teacher. A history teacher, so if I start waxing lyrical about history and all, please forgive me, because so much of what we believe is based in historical fact. But whenever I have a question, I go running across the hall. Mike, is this right? Is this wrong? Help me fix this up. So I always defer to Brother Eddie in questions of grammar. I know whom I have believed. And who is it? It's Jesus Christ, the rock, the foundation upon which we stand. And so could we sing that together as we begin our time of worship? Let's sing. It's in our hymnal 193. Let's sing it together. And I'm going to call on a few different groups to sing. All right, so be heads up. Let's sing all together. Ready? First verse.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he has.
The staff. All right, let's get that out of the way tonight. Let's have you sing the second verse for us. Ready?
I know not how this saving thing to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word wrought peace.
many of you remember the day you were saved? How many of you remember the day you were saved? No? No? Couple? Ooh, good. A few. A few remember. A few of you were, what, in the spirit? You don't remember? Can't recall? Can't recollect? Like President Ronald Reagan? I have no recollection of that fact. That's how old I am. Those of you who remember the day you were saved, I remember it. I was in the parlor. Teddy's Button. The old story, Teddy's Button. My mother was reading it to me. An old story, if you're not familiar with it, I recommend it highly. Do we sell that here in the boathouse? Is it back? I know it's back in print. We have it. Teddy's Button, my mother was reading it to me. You know what? I don't even remember much about the story, at least from those days. When we came to a part, my mother says, you think it's time you ask Jesus to come into your heart? And I said, yeah, I think it is. I was 5 years old. And you know what she said? She said, now pray after me. Nope. You know what she did? She said, okay, I'm going to leave you here. We're in our parlor. I can still see it in my mind's eye. So I'm going to leave you here. You invite Jesus to come into your heart. You tell him. You talk to him. And then you come and tell me when you're done. And that's exactly what I did. I can still see the sun shining through the window. It just happened to be a sunny day that day. I don't think it was because I got saved. The sun was shining like that song we sing. Earth above, you know, the sky above is softer blue and all of that. But I just asked him to come into my heart. How it happened, I don't know. But it happened. You know how I know? Because he's still there. He still lives in my heart. And so those of you who remember that day, you think you would sing that third verse with me? And if you don't remember, you just think about it. Maybe the Spirit will jog your memory. And if you have never had that day, you know, we never want to take that for granted here at Pilgrim Camp. If you've never had the day where you've invited Christ into your life, today's not a bad day. It's better than tomorrow, and much better than the day after that. Today is a great day. But sing it with me, all right, Brother Paul? Can we sing the third verse?
I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him all together. But I know
sang this song in our church a couple of months ago, and something very unusual happened. As we sang it, you know, sometimes you look at this, you're like, oh man, five verses. I guess we're going to be here for a while. I guess Brother John can't think of anything else to do or say, so let's sing a long song. Now, I'll be honest with you, if I wanted to sing a long song, I would sing Living for Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Lord. And sing it slowly. No, I'm just kidding. You know that. You gotta roll with me a little bit, okay? Once in a while, I know sometimes, what? I just want to see if you're awake. But as we were singing this song, you know, sometimes, very often, I do this. We'll talk a little bit in between to focus our attention on what we're about to sing instead of just droning on. You know, but I know, you know the song by heart. Or maybe not even, you know, just kind of in automatic pilot, that sort of mode. But we'll talk about it. We'll look at one of the verses. Sometimes our folks will give testimonies about something from a song, which is always a marvelous thing. If you want me to feel right at home, do that. It's a good way to get me to shut up. All right? Stand up, give a testimony, talk about something that impressed you, inspired you. And as we went through this song, all of a sudden, as we were singing the choruses particularly, I noticed just spontaneously around the church, around the room, different ones just lifting up their hand or just closing their eyes. You know, they didn't necessarily have their nose buried in the book and just singing. And each chorus, as we got to it, a few more joined in and a few others joined in. And by the time we sang this verse, I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me of wearied ways or golden days before his face I see. When we got to the chorus, all of a sudden, almost in unison, around the room, people just stood on the court. They didn't tell them to stand. They didn't say, okay, now everybody up on their feet. And we're not the type of church, maybe you are, and that, like I said, that's great. Whereas, you know, first beat of music, everybody's up on their feet. That's just not our style. But people just stood to their feet and stood and began to sing that chorus. But I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. And our church is small enough. I love big churches too, but our church is small enough where pretty much everybody knows everybody, you know? Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's not such a good thing because everybody knows almost everything about everybody. But as I just looked, and you know, I'm not nosy, but as I looked around the room and saw those who were standing to their feet, I knew that virtually every single one of them was facing some kind of an issue in their lives. One was in a marriage that was just about destroyed. One had a child that had walked away from the Lord. There were just, one was battling a disease that was incurable. And just as I looked around the room, these were people who weren't just singing off the top of their heads, you know, well, I know whom, you know, it's got a little bit of a lilt to it, you know, it's kind of a, you know, a little catchy tune, and people were inspired to stand up. That wasn't it at all. They were singing it in the face of very real issues and circumstances. And as they sang it, the Spirit of God just moved upon their hearts. And by His Spirit, not because they had greater faith than anyone else, but because of His Spirit, His presence, His anointing, His touch, His promises, they just stood and sang, I know whom I have believed. Now, I'm not saying that tonight so that people stand or whatever. That's not my point. My point is, do you know? Do you know whom you have believed? Are you persuaded? Those issues that you are carrying in your heart that maybe nobody knows about. Maybe nobody has any idea. Maybe everybody thinks your life is great or everything's wonderful for you. Maybe it's not. Maybe there's something that's just beating on you every day. Well, tonight, here it is. I ask you this question. Do you know whom you have believed? Come to know Him. Get to know Him. And then trust Him with all your heart and stand upon it. And so, for those of you who maybe are believing God for something, and I think it's probably most of us, you know, it's usually, you know, we may not know, but I bet just about every single one of us here has something on our hearts that we're trusting God for with all our hearts. And maybe we don't know how He's going to do it or what he could possibly do. If that's you, sing that fourth verse with me, and then we'll sing that chorus together. Let's sing it in faith. All right? Let's sing together.
I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before His face I see.
Together.
I know not where my Lord may come, and I will pray there, nor if I walk the way with Him, nor meet Him in the air. But I know where I will be, and I'm persuaded.
ask, Lord, for a special touch upon each of us who are here tonight, who are carrying a need in our hearts. Lord, maybe it's something in our bodies. Maybe it's something in our soul, our mind, a relationship. Or maybe we're having faith for someone else. We pray, Lord, tonight that you will, by your own Spirit, touch us, encourage us, Lord. May we encourage ourselves in the Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we will know whom we have believed. And we will trust you. And we will know that God is going to be victor. And you are going to get the glory in each and every situation. I pray that for us all tonight, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Truly is a delight to be here tonight. I just want to give thanks to God that I can be here with all of you. I'm having a great time in this meeting, sitting right where I'm sitting. Usually now I have to sing melody, or I do sing melody. I have scream melody in my church because the microphone's right there. But otherwise I would sing bass, but that's what I'm most comfortable with. But sitting there, I'm hearing Tim singing the melody right behind me, and I'm hearing Diane sing alto, and I'm hearing Pete sing bass. It brings me back a few years when we sang together a lot. And so I'm trying to sing the tenor note, so I fill in the four parts. And then hearing the instruments, it's a real blessing. The music is always something that's special to me. And I'm thankful that the Lord is here. I'm thankful for this summer, that every time I've been here, I think this is the sixth time, and every time I have sensed that the Lord is here, and he is the one who loves us, the one who gave himself for us, and the one who manifests his life, his holy presence here at Pilgrim Camp. And I sensed that this afternoon when I walked into the prayer room, and I saw people just kneeling, waiting before God, worshiping him. And I just sensed, Lord, you're here. And I thank you. I thank you that we know that. And not just because someone told us, but we know that you are here. And I thought of that word in Psalm 75 that says, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. We recount your wondrous deeds. In the King James Version, it says that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare, which means your wondrous works proclaim that you are near. You are here. And God does such wonderful things. I felt that he did something wonderful in that meeting this afternoon. As he seemed to draw so near to us and make it so evident to us that he was in our midst, and he knew our heart's cry, and he had come to supply all of our needs, to meet us right where we were and where we are. Well, I just want to say that I'm so very thankful for the ministry of Brother John Prah. So, I was here last week, and I was given to understand that he was speaking to us in addition to teaching from the Apostles' Creed. He was speaking on the Sermon on the Mount. And I know that it was rich. I heard that in prayer meeting this afternoon. And we thank God for our brother and the ministry that he... I wanted to be here a bit longer, but so many things were going on at home. And now I'm thankful that I'm here with Brother John Schultheis. And Brother John is talking about being old. If my math is right, you're going to be 53? I thought it was 52, but anyway, you look more 52 than 53.
Thank you.
Oh, that's because you are. Because you are. It's surprising to me that he's... Although, you know, he was head counselor for my children, my boys, and I think I've told him before, they really loved him. They thought he was a great head counselor, just like you think he's a great Watch Rock minister. And I know we're going to have a good time as he gives himself to serve the Lord among us and serve us in Christ's name. Now, he said that, and this is all I'll say, he said that he likes it when people talk about the songs that we sing. We sang that same song just a week or two ago at most in our church. And my favorite verse is the middle verse that says, you know, that song is full of how many things we don't know, and there are so many things we don't know. And the more we come to know in God's Word, the more we come to know about God, the less we feel we know, because we begin to discover that there's so much to know, so much to not just know, but experience of Him. And that's the know in the Bible, of course, includes that thought of experiencing. But that third verse, that speaks of wondrous works. I mean, wondrous works. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. Now, the reason we don't know how that happens is that God is God, and we are men and women. But what we know from that is that God is love. And we begin to know Him and understand Him when he brings us to life. I know not how the Spirit moves. The Spirit moves. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has caused that light to shine in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He wants us to know Him. And the Spirit moves, just as Jesus told His disciples the Spirit would move, convicting. When the Spirit of truth comes, He shall convict. He will convince you of your sin and of your state. You are under condemnation. He convinces of judgment and of righteousness, which He imparts, that we need the righteousness that comes from God becomes real to us. Now, how does that happen? If Brother John was speaking from the Sermon on the Mount, what made you know what so many people don't know and will not accept? What made you know that you were spiritually bankrupt before God? Or what caused you to mourn for your sins? What caused you to bow then to His scepter and be submissive, as it says, blessed are the meek? And what made you to hunger and thirst after righteousness that comes? That's the gift, God's gracious gift. What made that happen? We don't know, but we know and believe the love that God has for us. And we give thanks. His name is near, His wondrous works. We recount those deeds, and we know that He continues to work. Some people say, I don't see anything happening. Brother John would say, look at Jesus, and you'll know that He does great and mighty things that no one else could do. To change the hearts, to make them tender towards Him, to give them light. An understanding. So many things we don't know, but we know Him. And we thank Him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He does wonderful things. And He's done them for us. He's done so much for me that I cannot tell it all. Praise his name.
He's done so much for me that I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. He's done so much for me that I cannot tell it all. Oh, glory to his name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus. Praise the Lord. Jesus. Could we sing in our white camp book? My faith has found a resting place. Page 89. Let's sing it together, shall we?